Fit more of what you love in the new Tiguan all-space 7-seat SUV at Southern Volkswagen. Main South Road, Ranella.
We've received an email, and I've read through
they
this.
They seem to write them all to you, don't they?
No, it's to Ruined Its, and in fact, ruinedits.com.au, you can send us emails at any time.
Right.
No, please don't make light of this, because I've read this about 10 times this morning, and more I read it, the more I'm getting fired up about this, and I'm backing this lady in. Jill from Seaview Downs. Hi, Ruined Its. I was listening to your segment yesterday morning about the boy who hasn't been to school for 2 years due to gaming addiction.
Mm-hmm.
I feel there's a much larger problem than this issue. If a teenager died in the schoolyard as a result of ice or a drug overdose, mm-hmm. there would be a major police investigation and parents would be up in arms about what is happening at the school.
Absolutely,
and rightly so.
They would be. Yep.
When we hear of a teenager losing control of their car and a passenger is killed or something similar happens as a result of hoon driving,
yep.
there are repeated calls for tougher penalties or stricter rules governing when our kids can obtain a license, for instance, right?
Absolutely.
Therefore, why is it that when a child takes their own life as a result of online bullying, we do nothing except say how sad or terrible it is? As with these other issues, where we ban drugs or alcohol or hoon driving amongst our youngsters, why can't we ban online use? And I'm serious about this. Ask Lifeline or any other similar organisations how many young lives have been lost in Australia over the past 5 years or so, and ask the question if we've got an issue. So now, she's saying here, this happened at our school last year, and to date, nothing has been addressed, and it sickens me. And she goes to say to the young, a teenage girl took her life last year. Now, imagine a world where our kids have no access to data except for homework-related topics. There would be no bullying, no unnecessary online shopping, kids looking at porn, and the benefits would be far greater. For example, our kids would once again interact at the dinner table and in life in general. She says, I look forward to your feedback. Now, I've read over this many, many times this morning, and Roo, I'll even expand on this, Roo. I left school in 1980, right? And you would have been just after that, a few
92.
Years after that. In my time at school, kids didn't take their own life. There wasn't this issue. Do you know there was bullying? But you know what? You sorted it out in the schoolyard.
There was physical bullying.
There were some fights at lunchtime, and I'm not condoning that either. But I'll tell you what, it's far better than what happens right now. And this is only one instance we know of. She's told me the story here about a teenage girl taking her life. And what happened, my point being, Roo, that if it was a hoon driving incident, if it was ice in the schoolyard, it's stamped out and it's done away with. So
we'll be investigated thoroughly.
Why, therefore, aren't we doing something as a society about what's happening online?
In your letter there, did it say that someone committed suicide as a result of bullying at a school?
Yes.
And how can you tell me that, they didn't investigate who was bullying her?
No.
Why wouldn't they be doing that? They could track that easily.
This is my point. This is what this lady's saying.
If someone's bullied someone and they've ended up committing suicide, they should be going to this people and finding out why they're doing it and what's the reason behind it and doing something about it.
I hate this bullying stuff. I do too. But I've thought deeply about this now this morning. What if our kids only had phones that you could ring them on? So let's say in a couple of years' time, your daughter will want to be going to parties and things. I think it's important that she has a phone and you can ring her, or she can ring you and say, Dad, pick me up, or Dad, I need a lift, or whatever. No worries with that. But what if that's all they could do? What if phones were purely made for phone calls?
There are lots of parents now that are doing exactly what you say. In the families that I mix with, there are parents who do not let their kids have any data unless it is for homework. So people are starting to get onto this, Dits, because of everything that you've been talking about. Their minds are not ready to discover some of the stuff that they discover online.
That's right.
And then they can't handle it. It's not the kids' fault. They're inquisitive little buggers, and they'll push the bounds and they'll go over the line and find stuff there, and they'll just keep digging and doing all that stuff, mess their brain up, and in some ways, it can't be fixed.
No. So anyone listening that thinks this is a gross exaggeration, I'll say it again, none of this happened when I was at school.
You're talking about young people suiciding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, as a result
I've said this. We had this discussion the last few days at our house, because it is happening more and more out there, and it's disgusting.
Mm. But even
I feel sorry for the kid who's in that state of mind where they'd even contemplate it or even think about it or even say it. And a lot of kids are saying it and talking about it. right? They are, and I know from I've got kids, young kids. A lot of people are talking about it, saying it, whether it's for attention.
So therefore, why aren't we doing something about it? And I'll say it again: well, if a kid dies in a schoolyard as a result of something else, that is stamped out. It's illegal, and it's stamped out. Why isn't this stamped? Why isn't this now illegal? If kids die as a result of it,
why are they doing it anyway? Like it just never happened. Where I went to school, that people would. Like gang up on someone and push them to the point where they feel uncomfortable. And it just did not happen.
And if you had an issue in the schoolyard, once you went home, that was the end of it, right? What happens now is it's 24/7. Thousands and thousands of kids get online and gang up and join this campaign.
People have got phones, dits, and all this at the ages of 10 and 11 and 12 and all that.
Well, imagine if you couldn't. Imagine a world where that's now.
Why have they, though?
You've got to be 18 years of age. So, because
they're on social media at these ages as well.
Yeah. Well, imagine if we made it a rule like drinking, like drugs, like driving a car, like you've actually got to be of
an adult age. Should parents be in trouble for letting their kids have social media?
Well, these are all good questions. What do you think? 133353. What do you reckon? Because this really, when I read an email like this, this aggravates me. Seriously, it's.
Well, parents out there are really, they don't know what to do.
Hmm.
Parents my age with young kids are really, really worried about what their kids are about to go into. I am, absolutely.
Please have your say on this. 133353, what do you think? Roo and Dits on Triple M. Let's go to our callers, Roo, on 133353.
Let's go to Fulham. G'day, Sarah.
Good morning, boys. How are you?
Good, Sarah. Thanks.
That's good. I have a young child, so this subject really scares me. But what concerns me is that we don't have, it's not publicised every time there's a suicide. So it's not becoming, the public aren't aware as much that this is going on. You do see that someone's passed away and call Lifeline.
Yep.
But I think if it was brought more to the forefront and not glorified in the media, so you don't get copycats, but so people became aware how many kids were killing themselves, how many farmers were killing themselves, and then we could go in and address the problems from that end rather than it being hidden from us through the media.
Sarah, it's a very good point. And, you know, believe it or not, we're not even supposed to talk about this morning. So undergo, Ru and I, and everyone that works in this industry, we undergo training four times a year about the do's and don'ts. Well, believe it or not, you are not meant to talk. And Sarah's just asked, why isn't it reported? There's a reason for it, Sarah. And you mentioned the word copycat. So often our newsroom, for example, will hear about a death in a certain situation. Once they're told that it's suicide, they're told not to report it for that reason. Now, I don't know if that's right or not, because I tend to agree with you, but we're actually encouraged never to talk about it.
If it's reported in such a way that it's not glorified, so you wouldn't want a copycat, then I think it would be of a benefit to society and people know about it. Otherwise, kids are at school and all of a sudden little Sally just doesn't rock up.
Yep.
Well, why is that? Well, we can't talk about it. So anyway, I just thought that we should
good
talk
on you,
about
Sarah.
It.
No, I'm on your side.
Don't
Thank
be naive
you.
To think kids aren't talking about it.
No, that's
it's like
right.
When you don't keep, you know, the rule, you don't keep scoring footy. The kids know exactly what it is in quarter time. Yep. It's kids talk. Yep. They do. Let's go to Craigmore. Dave.
Yeah, morning, boys. I went to NAS with Boys Tech, which doesn't exist anymore. And there was a routine where if you wanted to get up the peck and order, you had to take the top bloke out. And, if you didn't, then you went back and you had the weekend to yourself to dust yourself off. Mobile phones are probably one of the worst things ever, I think, for creating all this problem.
Yep.
We used to go and play footy or cricket on the weekends, and come Monday, when you went back to school, you'd forgotten whatever happened on Friday.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely spot on. Yep. As I say, Roo, I know we are in an age where we'll never, ever be able to turn back the clock here with phones and, you know, online stuff.
You've got to get a balance, though.
But I wish we could. Yeah, more calls in just a moment. Emotive issue that will not go away, bullying on social media, how it's affecting modern kids, Roo. It's just out of control.
And it's also on text messaging and all sorts of different things as well. Let's go to an anonymous caller. Good morning.
Hi, guys. I work with kids that suffer a lot of mental health as a result of this stuff. Absolutely, I agree with the other callers about the access to the internet. It's frightening and it's heartbreaking because a lot of these kids, they can watch videos and they can post videos on how to commit suicide, medications, all sorts. And I've seen my own kids do this, and it scares the limit out of me, helping them through this age. They're now just out of it. But these younger generations, it's just everywhere. And keeping it hidden the way it is just, it's not helping things because it's bigger than, it's a new disease.
So going back to what Sarah, our last caller, said, do you think it should be publicised a bit more? We should educate people?
It should be, and in a very respectful and educated way, because I don't think there is a kid in high school and even in grades 6 and 7 that isn't aware of someone who's got suicidal ideation or tendencies or taking something or posting posting things, sexual things, even in primary school, as young as grade 5. These kids are posting stuff. And I always said when the phones, when my kids first got a phone, it shouldn't have a camera on it.
No.
There should have been an option that there's a phone without a camera, that there's a phone without internet option, so that we can have some kind of control on it.
All right, great call. And Roo, that's the other thing, of course, that has come up in the modern society, kids sending nude photos of themselves. We haven't even addressed that, but that's part, as our caller just then pointed out.
Let's go to Panorama. G'day, Anthony.
Yeah, good morning, fellas. How are you going?
Good,
thank you.
I think that it should be like opening a bank account. If you want to open a social media account, you should have a 100-point ID check.
This is good. Massive on this, Anthony.
This is a great idea.
They have to be accountable for the things that they say.
And then liable for what you say on there.
Exactly. If you've caused someone to kill themselves, you've got to be held accountable.
Yep. And even play a part in it.
You can't. If these people... It's just all through society. The footballers get picked on. There's no accountability.
Stuff that's written online is disgusting.
Anthony is spot on here. And Roo, maybe, so rather than banning it all, he's right. The simpler thing would be...
make him accountable.
You open an account.
It's no different to us.
Give us your name. Who are you?
Talking into this microphone.
Yep.
We have to abide by rules and regulations. Mm. The journalists at the Advertiser or wherever, they've got the same rules and regulations and accountable for what they say.
Yep.
Why is it different for what you do on social media?
Spot
it is
on.
Archaic, these rules.
Yep.
It's disgraceful.
Good on you, Anthony. That's great. Let's go to Nan. Hello, Dave.
How you going, lads?
Good, mate.
Politicians should do something about that because no one's doing anything about it.
What would you like to say, Dave?
I hate it. I think it goes as far as, like, the adults as well. You know, like, I've got mates that'll go online after sports people have bad games and go on their Twitter and that account and drill them and have a laugh. And I'll say to them, like, you're the part of the reason these people are hurting themselves.
Dave,
like,
well done.
Such a bad game. He knows it.
Dave, that's what we need. Adults.
Be mental health, Dave.
We need people like you exposing their mates who think it's funny. I don't see how they get off on stuff like that. It's bulldust.
All right, Glenel, good morning, Georgia.
Hello.
How you going, Georgia? What would you like to say?
I think it's absolutely horrible that it's still even continuing. I was bullied face-to-face as a kid, and it just destroys your confidence, your self-esteem. Just makes you feel worthless. The bullies don't realise what they say, how it affects you.
Georgia, do you mind us asking how old you are?
I'm in my late 30s now.
Okay. So online stuff wasn't really happening when you were at school?
No.
No? But it was personal in the yard.
Yeah, I got more face-to-face stuff or things said behind my back.
Yep.
That kind of...
And have you got through it all right, or...?
In the end, I did.
Yep.
But it took me a long time.
Yeah.
Mm. Georgia, thanks for calling in.
Yeah.
I don't know, Roo. Look, I like it. And I know you've gone on about this for a long, long time. Can we please, through our politicians...
Seriously, how archaic is that you're not accountable
launch
for what
a campaign,
you say on social media?
Yeah, that you must be accountable. That would end, pretty sure it would end all of this.
Yeah.
Be accountable for what you say.
The people and what they say, it's disgusting.
Mm.
And I don't think they care the ramifications. That's the other thing. How can people out there get off on making someone feel belittling them?
Yeah. And when they eventually take their life, does it make you happy? Do you think you've achieved something there?
Even just making people feel like, you know, worthless. You know, we've all had fun and mucked around and joke on people and, you know, even pick on people a little bit at times. And we've all been picked on.
Yep.
And we know how bad it feels. Why do people just absolutely smash people to bits?
Mm.
Or group up and gang up on people.
Yeah. Thanks to everyone that called in. That was good. Really good.
Triple M. Ebert leans back, slots the goal.
On Ruined Hits, it's Port Adelaide's Brad Ebert.
Ebert. Ebert.
Ebert. Ebert. Let your hang down. for Comwire IT, complete IT support and cloud solutions business.
Good morning, Evo.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Thanks for the coffee.
Thank you very much. You're welcome. Like I said, I softened you up.
Yes. You're ready tonight, one night in September. We need about 20 minutes of good stand-up from you tonight.
Oh, you ready, mate? And I can't wait. Yeah, I've got plenty of gags.
Reel off the gags.
You've seen me all season. I'm pretty funny.
in front of a thousand people tonight.
I actually didn't know what it was. I didn't know it was a stand-up comedy.
We need loads of rumours and gossip. We want everything.
Good. Right. Oh, well, that's plenty of that. Plenty of that flying around.
Let's start with a bit of gossip that's getting around because it is silly season and there is stuff flying around left, right and centre about everyone. But let's focus on Port because that's who you're with. Is Chad Wingard potentially leaving the club?
Well, mate, this is, I'm not too sure. This is, once again, I'm not 100%
Treader
on
said it last. Hey. Yeah, and that's... You're talking to us now.
I know. And that's even a couple of the boys sent a text around. We didn't actually know 100% what was going on there either. So, yeah, supposedly he's got a few offers and looking around and so, yeah, I guess...
Or is he looking for a deal? Does he want to get out? Does he want something different?
Well, I'm only going on what what Treaders is saying, really. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm not 100% sure, but... yeah, I guess if that's the case, then if there's offers out there, it's always hard to refuse as players with that short lifespan.
Do you want to lose Wingard, though?
No, I don't think so. I think he's been a strong contributor to us, and he always provides that versatility.
But are you, you know, modern day, Adelaide know it more than anyone, when players leave, you just get on with it and someone steps up. Are you along the lines of, so if whoever it is that leaves, you just go, all right, well, if he's left, we'll just deal with him. We'll just bring someone else in.
Yeah, massively. Yeah.
That's the mentality of modern clubs and modern teams, players and teams. They're not as upset as about an individual player leaving as perhaps what they were 10 years ago.
Yeah, and I think that what you're trying to build is that strong culture and strong place where if a player does go of Chad's calibre and, you know, does go for big cash and whatever draws him away, then okay, that happens. But then, you know, the likes of a Joey Attlee or someone like that will come in and get the opportunity. So whilst it's not ideal and Chad is good to have around the club, I think that if those lures are there, then I think we can always cover it.
Brad, after the loss to Essendon in the last game, Koshy said that 8 o'clock next morning he had Ken and Keith Thomas and everyone in his hotel room said, right, we will be ruthless. Yeah, Chris Davies. But he made the statement, he said, we've got to be ruthless and everyone's on the table. In other words, everyone's up for trade. Was that statement made to you, to the whole playing group? That did anyone eyeball you and say, all of you can be possibly traded out?
Not in those sort of words, I guess. Like, we never had Koshy come in and do his speech like he had in the past and whatnot.
We'll have Robbie Gray if we can.
Yeah, but yeah, I think there's probably some players that you probably can't go near.
I'm his manager now. That's 2.5 a year.
Yeah. Everyone's for trade as long as it's a good deal.
Yeah. But I think it's one of those ones where, they talked about making sure that we obviously had a disappointing year, and we know, as a Port Adelaide Football Club fan and supporter, that was unacceptable, and therefore then because of that, we know that there could be change and that can happen. So, you know, guys understand the reality of footy, and so Kenny was pretty upfront with that. We've already seen, a couple of coaches that have sort of moved on and gone in other ways, and I'm sure that there'll be a few players that'll get traded out. But I think if you keep the core group together, I think that we've still got a good mix.
Is it right that Pittard and Homsch might not be at Port Adelaide next year?
These are
the names that are getting bandied around.
He is throwing them around.
We've got to ask these questions.
Yeah, I think that I'm not 100% sure with those boys as to whether they're definitely going or anything like that. They've still got a year on their contract, so I'd imagine that if there was anything like that, it's really up to them. But once again, I love having those guys around.
Because Scotty Lysett's coming to Port Adelaide. That's red hot mail. He's coming. So you can't just bring in a player on close to 700,000 without losing players.
No.
Well, and that's the reality of the game, isn't it?
But Pollock's the one that's been talked about. Hey, I was sick the other night. I was listening to your call of the Port Essendon game. You came up with a Bosch Tools stat. No, I fell out of bed. What was that?
Well, that's my job to have read out stats. Bosch Tools stat was that Jared Pollock at his wedding is having... zero Port Adelaide teammates at the wedding.
What do you mean?
Well, none of the teammates.
Where have you dragged that stat from?
How did you find that? I'm very curious about that stat.
You're trying to cause infighting.
No, I'm not. Do not try. Don't start that because there's all these gooses out there that will believe you. I don't start.
You said it.
Yeah, but that's
they'll
fact.
All believe you.
It's fact.
But where'd you get the fact from?
Did you get an invite?
No, I didn't, boys.
Did anyone? No.
Well, not that I know of.
Did anyone know about his? Did anyone know about his engagement show?
No, we didn't know about that one earlier in the year.
Yeah. Does he come to functions or catch up?
He sometimes comes.
No.
Hey, listen, that's
just the type of lad he is. I'm not having a go.
The invites might still be on the way.
Mate, they might still. I am still hanging out.
When's
I
the
have
wedding?
Moved.
The
I
dog
have,
could have chewed him.
That's I have right. moved. I when have is moved the wedding? From Henley to Grange. I think it's in a couple of weeks.
Well, it still could be coming.
While we have
more
an
with
break,
Brad Abbott will rock up.
That's it. That's it.
Can you bloody settle down over there?
No, I'm not.
Port Adelaide gossip.
I love Port Adelaide.
Mitch McGovern's going to the Gold Coast as well. All right.
Mitch McGovern's going to Port Adelaide.
No, maybe. Brad Ebert joins us thanks to Comwire IT.
Triple M. On Ruin Dits, it's Port Adelaide's Brad Ebert.
For Comwire IT, complete IT support and cloud solutions business.
Oh, now, Brad, I want to ask you a quick thing about this Scott Lysette situation, and not just about him, but about all players in general. Mm. Do you think, are you now attuned to the fact that players will be spoken to before the end of seasons? I mean, here's a lad who has to play a couple of finals potentially and maybe a grand final for West Coast.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's already been spoken about going to Port Adelaide. Will that be the norm, do you think, moving forward?
Well, I think it must, yeah, because I think that like a lot of clubs probably want to know where you're at going into these sort of times of year. And so therefore, you know, if you're honest and you're open with it all, then yeah, you're probably going to end up telling them. And yeah, you've probably just got to get used to understanding that, yeah, players are probably going to move. And when they're open and honest with it, then yeah, that's all they can be. Yeah.
And coaches.
Yeah, that's it.
The Coaches Association want you to tell your coaches by August the 1st.
Yeah.
So it's 4 weeks before the end of the season. You've got to tell them why.
Oh, so you can get reemployed, you think?
You probably won't keep you next year. So start looking the 4 weeks before finals start.
Mm. Yeah, which would make
a distraction for you mentally, isn't
it? Yeah, that's it. So, it's interesting.
Ebo, big round of footy coming up this weekend. Starts Thursday night. Richmond take on the Hawks. Can you see the Hawks causing an upset?
No, I can't. I think... Yeah, you know, Richmond, to their credit, have really turned their club around the last few years, and they're a team in good form, so I don't think they could be pipped. I reckon they'll win.
All right, what about Melbourne and the Cats Friday night?
Where's that game played?
MCG, the home of football.
Yes.
That changes it.
Got a couple of big games there, haven't they? The AFL would be licking their lips too, probably 100,000 plus crowd, 100,000 crowds. So, the Days have been in pretty good form. I wouldn't be surprised if they knock the Cats off there.
Be a big game. Then, talking of big games, head to the SCG on Saturday afternoon. Sydney v GWS. Could not have picked that any better there, or could not have planned it any better, the AFL.
No, they couldn't have. They couldn't have. And I reckon Sydney have probably got them there. It's
a bit of a smaller oval.
Yeah, that would be the only thing, I reckon.
How fit Buddy is.
Probably make a bit of a difference, but I'd still say that Sydney on that ground, they can condense it pretty well against the fast running GWS. So I'd say Sydney will win.
So you reckon the Swannies will win
one? But I could be wrong. I'm not 100% sure.
All right, West Coast v Collingwood at Optus Stadium on Saturday night.
Yeah, Optus Stadium, I reckon West Coast will get the job done.
Get the chocolates there. Still got a few blokes you talk to over there?
Still have a chat to a few of the boys.
Josh Kennedy fit to go, you reckon?
I haven't actually spoken to him this week, so not sure, but I'd imagine final, he'd be pushing for it, especially with the week off these days. I reckon the week off ends up meaning that...
Do you like the week off?
I do. Well, not that it's helping us this year, but... I think it's you need two buys, and so where they can fit it in, it's good. I still believe that you should have two buys throughout the year.
No, I do too.
But in any way, you've got to try and get it in somewhere. So I still think that it probably should have been rounds 8 and round 16 or something like that to keep it fair.
Now, before you leave us, you've been telling us about your podcast in recent times. Yeah. What have you been into?
Yeah, well, I was driving up the Barossa yesterday. I had a good day up there doing some wax sealing, so it was pretty riveting
doing
stuff.
Doing a bit of waxing.
So, Yeah.
Wax on, wax off.
Wax on, wax
Hang
off.
On, what are you, what's
to
that?
Me and Tommy Jonas just putting it on
each your
other's
bottles.
Legs and, on the
bottle. By the way, we've drank that bottle, so bring us another one.
Yeah, true. I still need to catch up with you.
I need to see if that bottle was just a fluke.
You know how you can do it.
The second one
you can go on
to
heydoodle.com.au. That's how you can do it.
We don't buy stuff.
I know you boys don't buy stuff. You get free BOC gas refills.
Pay for anything.
Now, can I just ask you something? When you're driving up to the Barossa, you say listening to a podcast. What you couldn't? Were we out of range? Couldn't get Triple M?
It was the wrong time. It was. I was obviously driving from. It was after the 9 o'clock. Yeah, it was when Jason Lewis
Tim the button pusher was on.
Right. What were you listening to?
Oh yeah. Anyway, so I was listening to Bob Hurley, the founder of Hurley Surf Gear, Yeah. And he just sounded, I don't know, it was a good episode where he was just talking about like balance in life and the way that he was able to build his business up, and it was all about like helping out the people that, you know. Yeah, anyway, so you'd be into it. You'd be into it. But once again, it was a good day. It was a good day. And
Ditz is out of balance. That's why I got crooked last week.
sounds really riveting.
It was, but it just, he was a bit of a surfer dude that was able to turn it into a good business. So it was interesting to listen to.
That's never been done before.
It was inspiring. Hey? Ditz, come on,
this
mate.
This is what he's
You're
like.
You're a real cynic, aren't you?
Yeah.
Cheer up. Cheer up.
Shouldn't have tripped like you're putting us out of a job.
Oh, mate, shouldn't everyone listening here is going, shit, that sounds good. I'm going to listen to this. Bit of finding mastery. Yeah, they love it.
Hey,
I love it.
Make sure you go and practice some golf for tonight, because if you're rubbish up tonight, we'll pot you in front of a thousand people.
I don't understand what's going on here.
What is going on? Alice, you're going to have really Brian Taylor.
I know.
Wayne Carey. Ditz, the grumpy old buddy, and me.
Shit, that's what I'm
I'll look after
this
you a little bit, but we are going to interrogate you.
Okay, and with a bit of humour.
And you can distract you, with a little bit of fun.
Tell us about Bob Hurley tonight. That'd be good.
Yeah, you'd get right into it, wouldn't you?
Give us half hour on
it. It might be the way that I can get out of it. Yeah.
We'll get further.
All right, good on you, Brad. Thanks for coming in. 19 today, Roo. Not a bad day in Adelaide, although, again, it was -1 this morning at my joint.
Yeah,
God, it was
a bit
cold.
Fresh at nights at the moment.
Yes, but 19 today and sunny. It'll be a beautiful day in Adelaide. What's making news, Roo?
Carl Stefanovic's wife's bringing out a new children's book at the moment. After they'd split up a couple of years ago, she said it's a bit of a passion project, this one. She's designing a book that's going to help women and children get through the breakdown of a relationship, funnily enough. That's what it's about. And all the proceeds are going to help with people that are going through relationship breakups. So, she needs to do a book to sort of help her get over the fact that they've split up a couple of years ago.
Yep.
Sounds like it's a bit tough for her at the moment. So if you're interested in reading the book, keep an eye out for that one.
All right.
Tell us about the black doll, is it a gollywog they're calling it?
Yep, gollywog, which is a name that's now banned, Roo, that you're not supposed to use anymore.
Yep.
Look, I don't
know. Is that what people get fired up about with the black doll? So this all the backlash that's happening at the Adelaide show, and just like you can have black dolls and white dolls, surely, can't you?
I would have thought so, yeah.
So what, just explain to dummies like me why this doll is deemed to be racist.
All right, I don't know 100%, and maybe someone can quite seriously help us with this, 133353, but I think the history of it was, now, for those listening, I'm going to use this word just so that we can explain the story. I don't like this word myself, and I'd never use it, but you know that many Italian people, I think Italians and Greeks, have been called wogs here in Australia for a long, long time, haven't they, Roo?
Yeah, absolutely.
And again, I apologise for using that word, but I'm just explaining the story. But all the years I got to be overseas, in London, in England, the word wog was aimed at black people. There are many, many Africans and West Indians living in London and in the UK.
Right.
And I don't know why, but the word wog was aimed at them. And again, a derogatory term. And so therefore, gollywog was banned there at some stage. And I think it goes back probably as far back as the 80s, probably.
So it was obviously a pretty bad times back
then. And bad connotations. So I don't think it's, as you pointed out, I don't think it's really that it's a black doll. I think it's more the word. And the
history
use of
gollywog.
I think so. Yeah, but someone may know more about that. 133353, but it certainly has caused a stir down at the show.
You'd like to think you can have a black doll and a white doll if they're normal.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Definitely. Well, let's be serious about this. What about all the African kids growing up in the world? What, is every doll white, is it? I mean, surely not for them.
Like you should have an Asian doll or whatever you want to have, as long as you're not being disrespectful.
Someone may know more about that. That can help us. Yeah.
Hey, interesting one here. This is a surprising stat. Alcohol consumption in Australia is at its lowest level since the 1960s.
You're joking.
So 50-odd years ago, we are drinking sort of the same amount, and it basically gets back to the amount of beer we're drinking. Beer has really dropped off a reasonable amount. It's declined 2.4% a year for the last 10 years. So since way back in sort of 2008-ish, we have a decline on our beer consumption. Mainly, put back.
But the breweries would still be going, I presume that's a per head number. So therefore, with the increasing population, they'd still be selling a lot of beer, wouldn't they?
Yeah, but it's going backwards. It's not good news for breweries, that's for sure. So and it peaked in the 70s, pretty much drank double the amount that they're drinking now in terms of beer. Yeah, it's interesting numbers, isn't it?
Yeah. One thing I noticed, Roo, and I feel for you blokes.
They obviously, you know, would the numbers would be a lot worse if you weren't having a crack.
Well, we're doing our bit. Mm. Gee. Because it's un-Australian, really.
If not to have a beer.
Mm. But what about the choice of beers now? That's the one thing that I find amazing. You walk into any pub now and you can choose from about 40 beers.
Yeah.
When I was a lad, ridiculous. You walked in, three beers, thanks. That's all you had to say because it was only one to choose from.
Yeah, I just don't get that. But anyway, some people just love the trying of different beers and all that sort of stuff, the craft beers. But I just find that staggering, actually, at the lowest level.
Mm.
Probably the use of... illicit drugs might have something to do with it. People might be the cost of drinking in venues.
Cost
might
of
have
drinking, Drink driving has certainly
drink
slowed
driving
things down.
Has probably had something
which
to do
is,
with that.
Which is right. There's no worries about that. Hmm.
But are you surprised about that stat?
Yeah, I am. I am. I still thought we were a nation of drinkers, but 133353. Why do you think this is happening? Can anyone enlighten us out there?
Why are we not drinking as much beer? We worried about our weight, perhaps.
Yeah. All right. Bit.
Give us a call, 133353.
Hey, we've got tickets to the Royal Show as well to give away. So our best callers this morning, we can send you off to the show. Everyone wants tickets to the shows. Give us a ring to the show, 133353. Why aren't we drinking as much, Roo? The numbers are plummeting as far as beer consumption is concerned.
Half as much beer as we used to drink in the 70s.
Mm.
So let's go to Mudbury Heights. What do you think, Mel?
Morning, Roo and Dits. How are you going?
Yeah, good, thank you.
That's good. I found it quite surprising when you said those statistics, but I think people these days seem to be, unfortunately, taking too many drugs. That's why they're probably not drinking as much when they go out.
Is it a cost thing? Do you think that's a cost thing, or they just prefer whatever they're feeling they get from that?
I think it's a cost thing. It's definitely not the... it could be the feeling, I'm not sure, but I think it's more the cost. Like, it's cheaper to go and do that than have a whole... nights worth of drinks out. Mm. And I also think, like, people are conscious of all their weight loss and trying not to drink, like, low-carb beer.
Yep.
But I think that's affecting it, yeah.
All right. Good on you, Mel. Thank you. Jeez, we've become a bloody nation of wowsers.
Yeah, back...
bloody consumption's down.
Yeah, our average consumption for everyone 15 years and over is about 224 stubbies of beer a year, 38 bottles of wine, 17 bottles of cider, 4 bottles of spirits, 33 cans of premix. That's about our average consumption. Let's go to Bridgewater. G'day, Mark.
Hey, g'day, boys. How are we?
Good. What do you think?
Look, for me, it comes back to advertising. I think through the 70s, 80s, and 90s, you could flip the box on and you'd see commercials left, right, and centre, no matter what channel you're on. These days, with the media platforms like Netflix and even billboards and things like that don't pop up around the place anymore, we're just not seeing it pushed in front of our faces.
Wow, Booney used to be the VB man, didn't he? And the Australian cricket team were always Forex, and they sponsored the Foster's Grand Prix.
Yep.
Probably don't see that as much anymore, do we?
You reckon looking at a billboard makes you go, oh, actually, I feel like a beer. I might call into the next
one. Well, why do they have billboards then?
It's types of beer.
What do you mean?
Well, like if you're thinking about buying a beer and you go, oh, I might give that VB a go because Booney looks like a good bloke instead of West End Draft or something like that. Maybe, I don't know. Let's go to Happy Valley. What do you think, Sean?
Hey, morning, boys. No jokes this morning, right?
No what?
No jokes this morning. Okay. No tuna jokes.
No tuna. That was Biggles.
I reckon a lot of it's to do with price. I mean, beer I found goes up and down like the price of petrol. I can go into a retailer and one day BB might be $60-$61 a box. I just won't buy it at that.
Mm. You should.
And then and then 2 weeks later it's $50 and they've got the audacity to still have special
from,
written on it.
You're obviously going to somewhere where they do a bit of discounting.
Well, they're supposed to be the cheapest.
But isn't that a good thing, though, Sean? If you shop around, I mean, Roo, you're in pubs. Sure, there's always a beer special, isn't there?
Well, over the bar there is, and in a bottle shop, whether it's Dan Murphy's or Sip and Save or, whatever.
I mean, Sean, I know you'd want to like the beer. You don't want to buy it if it's, ordinary beer, but surely if you shop around, though, each week, you'll find one that's a bit cheaper than the others, won't you?
oh, well, if you want to drink another beer, but, you know, I've got a place for that. So on the odd occasion, I've had to buy a cheaper beer.
When it's on sale, fill the truck up, mate, and just whack her in the shed. Let's go to Seaford Rise. G'day, Steve.
Hey, mate, how you going?
Good, thank you.
Beautiful. I just thinking, like, I remember stories of the old boy back in the day when he was an apprentice, you know, they'd go down and knock back 3 or 4 beers at lunchtime and things like that. And now, I guess, with building trades and that, it's not acceptable to do that.
Yeah, it's a good point. Right. Well, yeah, and I can think of down the wharf area, God, blokes would have 10 pints at lunch and things like that.
What do you think the blokes at the brewery used to do?
Yeah.
Oh, they used to give it a big nudge.
Yeah.
Well, wouldn't you, when you got it on tap?
Yeah. Right. And in fact, actually on tap.
The funny thing was as well, when you're a beer rep, going back in the 70s.
Oh.
Crikey. They had to have a beer with, when I say had to, it was just the done thing. Every pub they called on,
you told had a beer with the publican.
Well, they did, though. The publican say, oh, here's the beer, right? We better have a few beers.
What about the poor publican?
Yeah. I know. That's why they're all
40
big.
40 beers a day.
Yeah. I know. So things have changed
a little probably.
Bit. Yeah. No doubt about that. Hey, do you want to send Mel off to the Royal Show?
Well, I can't see why we wouldn't.
Mel from Modbury?
Yep. Good on you, Dits. Look after the ladies for something different.
Now, Roo, the state's $400 million down the gurgle. I want to find out where it went. Mike Smithson will join us in just a moment. Roo and Dits on Triple M.
What a goal!
Roo and Dits Overnight Sports.
Roo, I've heard Gil McLaughlin talking overnight about the fact that players are being spoken to from different clubs at the moment. The season's not even over. And as you know, Scott Lysette's been linked to the Port Adelaide Football Club from West Coast, and their coach Adam Simpson's had a bit to say about this.
Unfortunately, there's clubs at the moment that are out of the premiership race, and they need to get on with their list management and their decision making, but we're not in that phase. We really rate Scott as a player, and we're doing everything we can to keep him.
It is a tough one. Look, managers are going to talk to each other on a daily basis, aren't they, Roo, and try and get the best deal for their players. How do you stop it?
You can't stop it because they've got to work out what they're doing next year. And I'm in list management. You're talking about that all year.
Yeah.
Very, very naive to think that players and managers and clubs aren't talking to each other. And to be honest, you know, you should be able to handle it anyway.
Yeah, it's probably the way we're heading.
It's happened forever, Diz.
Yeah, so now we're hearing...
it is happening more. There's no doubt about it.
We started to hear yesterday that St Kilda have entered the race for Jared Polek as well.
I think it's fair to say they're always in the race.
Yeah.
But they might have upped their ante a little bit with that. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
They're saying Gold Coast is having a crack at Mitch McGovern as well, which...
I'll say it again. This is a personal view, but if he makes the public statement that Adelaide's not the right environment for him to play footy at, yet he thinks Carlton or the Gold Coast is, someone needs to have a good chat to that young lad.
No, it depends what makes you tick, doesn't it, Dits? Everyone's...
Oh, but come on. You probably can't comment. No, seriously. Nah. How can he say, oh, Adelaide's not the right environment for me? Oh, but Gold Coast might be. What a basket case that club is.
Gold Coast and Carlton.
Yeah, both.
Well,
this does not make sense.
Depends what people like. He might like going to go to the Gold Coast because there's no pressure to perform up there.
Well, he's being ill-advised.
He might not. He
he's
might
being
go,
very poorly
he
advised.
He might want to go there because the money's good, or he might go there because he thinks the coaches are better, or he might think I'm just saying that people go to different places for different reasons. Why would Lachie Neal want to leave, Freo and go to Brisbane, I suppose? It's different, you know.
Yeah, I can understand
maybe
that fully.
Brisbane are
heading in the right direction.
Yep. Yep, well, they're saying that that deal could potentially happen as well. There's a lot of talk about Wingard out last night. This is getting a lot stronger too, Dits, about Wingard looking for different options. And
right.
I heard, you know, huge money talked about him. So, anyway, silly season.
Every single player is on the table.
Yeah, it's silly season at the moment. And all I'd say to people out there, it's called silly season for a reason. Because there's a lot of garbage getting talked about at the moment in many different ways.
All right, let's move on to other sport. The 36ers have appointed Hall of Famer Ken Cole to be their new president. Now, he won a title as the coach back in 1986. They were the real glory days of the Sixers, no doubt about that.
Yep.
He was flamboyant. They used to get a ton of publicity through Ken Cole. To the US Open, John Millman faces the biggest challenge of his career this morning. He takes on Roger Federer. So good luck to young John Millman. And Alastair Cook's retired from cricket. He'll see out this series against India. He's made over 12,000 runs, Alastair Cook. What an amazing career,
right? That's a huge amount of runs,
isn't
it?
Yeah, that's our look at sport. Rob Lucas is about to hand down his first budget since the Libs got in, back in March?
Yeah, but it looks like he's been given a hospital handball, the old handball that you go and you just looked up and you just didn't, you wanted to take it, but you knew you were going to get crunched.
So what, he's inherited a bit of a mess, you reckon?
Well, it looks like it. $397 million budget hole they're talking about.
Nice.
It's a big number. Let's get Channel 7 political reporter Mike Smithson on to tell us all about it. Smitho, that's not what you want to be handballed when you're heading into office.
No, well, I think he saw the handball coming, though, Roo, to be honest.
Yeah, doesn't make it feel any better when you get it.
No, but there are a few factors behind it as well, don't forget, that they've squeezed a lot of existing debt into the last financial year, that is the year that ended on June 30, and they are trying to make this budget look as bad as possible, because that means future budgets where the past debt's been squeezed into the last financial year at the last moment.
So shoulder the blame as much to the Labor as they can so they look better in the future. Is that what you're saying?
You should be a politician. That's exactly what they're doing.
Okay.
I'm not saying that the deficit is not, we don't want it, but they are predicting surpluses with cuts, as governments always say. They're prudent spending and cutting waste wherever they can will push us into surplus, according to Rob Lucas. He won't be Treasurer because he will be next year, but not at the end of this term of Parliament. But he wants to see it go back into surplus, and quite a healthy surplus, certainly by 2021. But in the meantime, we've got to endure a bit of pain. But it's a long time ago, isn't it? All the transitions, and we ran it on Channel 7 last night. Rob Lucas back in 2001 looked a lot younger and perhaps a lot more enthused towards the task than he does this year, because, as you say, $397 million from what Labor had promised would be a $12 million surplus, all of a sudden it's slipped the other way by more than $400 million overall.
Is Eden sort of known as a bloke who's going to just make cutbacks to save this money? I mean, what's his background? Is he, to save $400 million, there's going to be a few people missing out on money that they thought they might have going to get.
Well, he's going to look at cutting departments. Now, I'll go quickly through ones that your listeners would identify with. Okay, he said health is going to be quarantined from the savage cuts, and most often, departments are demanded to make savings efficiencies, and that is either cut staffs or programmed or just make themselves more efficient. Health's going to be quarantined from that, and so are frontline police and ambulance officers and fireys and the like, that's which you would expect.
Yep.
But then, so where are the cuts going to come from? Well, he says backroom staff in departments. Well, you know, I don't know about you, but backroom staff make the front of house staff look better, don't they? So if you don't have the backroom staff, how on earth are you going to have the full service?
Depends
that
how
you
hard
have
they're
now.
Working, Smitho.
True, good point. But then you look at departments such as the arts and environment. Now, I think they're going to be pretty heavily savaged today during the budget, that we won't see quite as many cultural programs, shall we say, coming forth. But he's got to make the savings somewhere.
Yep.
I suppose it's not a bad place to start. He has said, which I think is a great move, there will be no promotion, no campaign selling the budget on TV, radio or newspapers. Now, we all miss out on a bit of revenue with that happening, but, you know, that at $4 million was one of the great rorts of all time, I thought, under Labor, that they've do the budget and then they tell you how good they were.
Pumping their own tyres. All right, well, he's got a bit of a job to do to turn that around. Let's hope he can without making too many cuts to things that we want.
Well, boys, I tell you what, it's going to be a long day in the budget, but there is one thing to look forward to. I'm seeing you both tonight.
Oh, you're coming along, are you?
My oath.
Oh,
I'll have a significant photograph by then, I can tell you.
No doubt a bloody freeloader. You would have got a free ticket, surely.
My employer paid for it. Reward me for such a crap day I'm going to have.
Well done. All right. See you tonight, Smitho.
Good on you, boy.
Channel 7 political reporter Mike Smithson, always all over the political scene here in South Australia.
Hey, coming up next, there's a man who's in the world of reptiles. Ditz, he reckons there's going to be a lot of snakes coming out in spring after a cold winter.
Oh, mate, I hate snakes. Well, I am not a snake person at all.
You better ask this man a few questions.
All right, Roo and Ditz here on Triple M. I might skip this segment, Roo. I am absolutely... There's
you're
one thing in life.
Oh,
mate, I am terrible with snakes.
What do you like with spiders?
Nah, no worries, but snakes, definitely... I don't know why. They just send shivers up my spine.
Well, you'd do everything you could around your house to make sure they're not going to come around there, wouldn't you?
Well, I try not to think about it.
All right. Well, let's get a man on who knows all about snakes and catching them. His name's Tony Harrison, and he joins us now. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, guys. How are we going?
Oh, Ditz is
Tony,
shaking
why
here at the moment.
Why are you worried about snakes like the rest of you? You're a snake catcher. Why don't they bother you? What is it with snakes that you just find easy to handle?
I just have an understanding of them. I've worked with them my whole life, and... I don't listen to what a lot of the media says and hypes them up and think, you know, they are a potentially dangerous animal if handled irresponsibly, but, you know, so motorbikes and a few other things in life, but they're not
aren't
that
they
bad.
Unpredictable, though? When you approach a snake to try and catch it, aren't they a bit unpredictable?
200% the opposite. They are very, very readable.
Oh, really? How do you read a snake's mind?
It's not their mind. It's their the way they move, the way they act, that they're absolutely telling you what they're thinking and what they intend to do.
How many times have you been bitten?
Well, I've done nearly 18,000 relocations, and in that time, being bitten is a big question, but being hospitalised, I've been hospitalised twice from goannas, once from a red belly, once from a rusk-gale, once from an eastern brown, and a croc broke my arm in two places. But
so you got full...
You know, broke your arm.
So you got full medical coverage, obviously, by the sound of it.
Have you still got all your fingers and your toes and your limbs? That's the
just,
next question.
Yeah,
just.
Yeah,
now, tell me about, how did a croc break your arm?
Oh, we do reptile demonstrations, and... In the early days, I had a bit of a boo-boo, and he was obviously a lot quicker than I was and grabbed my hand and gave me a bit of a warning.
Wow. Hey, the headline says you'll catch them everywhere. It reckons they're going to be plague proportions this summer. Now, this could be a bit of a beat-up, I'm sure, but tell us what some of the things you can do around your house to minimise the chance of a snake, coming into your house or, you know, being where you are.
Okay, well, look. They are right in saying that you do get snakes everywhere. Plague proportions is that beat-up you're talking about, naturally. But there's two things in life that snakes want most of the time. That's food and refuge. So if you've got stuff lying around your property, like corrugated iron, piles of rocks, railway sleepers, any big piles of debris or whatnot, that attracts the lizards.
What about shoes
the mice,
at
the
your back door and stuff like that?
That, I don't know where she got that from, along with the dog's water. That was a fantasy, I think. Obviously, if you do leave your shoes at the back door, there are smaller species of snakes that sometimes can use that as refuge. Mm. And, but, you know, it's not just shoes, that's everything.
Yeah. But, so, well, they like to hide away under a bit of shade or something. Is that, when you say they're under sleepers or corrugated iron, do they like to get out of the sun?
They want refuge away from other predators, birds of prey, dogs, cats, humans. You know, they spend their life trying to get breakfast and not become breakfast.
Okay.
If you've got crap lying around your property, you're going to attract their food source and give them a home to live in.
Right.
At this time of the year, it's breeding season, so males are aimlessly wandering, trying to find females, and their common sense goes out the window. So we do see a lot of snakes right now, but it'll die off in another 4 weeks.
What about the thing we always get told, that they're more scared of us than we are of them? Is that absolutely true?
Yes, totally. They think we're one of those animals that are going to eat them.
Right.
The analogy
can you
I have...
just tell them that we're not?
Spread the word.
When are they going to start coming out? Like when the sun comes out?
Up here in the Gold Coast where I am, anything over 23 degrees and they're active. It's not as if they stop coming out, they just slow down during winter.
Well, it's going to be 25 here on Monday, Tony. So
it'll be on Donkey Kong down there. We started mid-July and we're doing 4 or 5 calls a day.
Really?
Yep.
All right, what's your number?
Yeah, give us your phone number.
I'm not in Adelaide, I'm on the Gold Coast. But,
Righto. Yeah. Tony, thanks so much, mate. Thanks for joining us. Rui, this isn't good news from where I sit.
You've got a dog bowl near your home, you've got shoes at the back door, you've got pets with food laying around, I've seen your garden, you need to get out there and do some...
These are the list of things you're not meant to do. It says wear leather gloves when gardening or working outside.
I'm going to
sleep in leather gloves now.
What about what he said about the male snakes? They're trying to breed at the moment. And their brain goes out the window.
I can relate to that.
It must be closely related to humans, doesn't it?
That's right. Oh.
Ladies. Ruin Dits for breakfast on Triple M.
We thought you girls were sugar and spice and all things nice.
Ruin Dits Angels.
Good morning, Angels.
Good morning, Ruin Dits.
Rue, the revolving door of the Angels. We've got another new rookie.
Oh, this is a first.
Another Dits. Recruit.
We've got a pregnant Angel.
I know. Yeah. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning.
Now, tell us your story. Married or?
Yes, married. We'll be together 19 years this
19
year.
19 years?
Wow. Yeah.
You only look about 22.
No,
I'm
so young.
Did you get married, if we're allowed to ask?
Yes, I was 20 going on 21.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well
met
done.
When I was 14 and he was 17.
You met at 14?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
So yep. High school?
No, I was his Avon lady.
Hang on. His Avon lady.
What's Avon lady? What does that mean?
I just remember the hot guy around the corner when I started Avon.
You've married a bloke that used Avon products.
No, his mum did. And then he started buying aftershave just to make me go over there.
Right. Yeah.
Good on you, mate. What's his name?
Adrian.
Good on you, Adrian. Well done.
Fish.
Anything to get
Adrian
the girl, Adrian.
Married the Avon lady.
He didn't even like the aftershave. He just, you know.
Of course he did.
Nah. Ange, we've got Ange, hello, who's always here. And Alice the Wag.
Good morning. Why are you just
part of the furniture.
We're not interesting anymore.
Game players here now, aren't they?
Yeah,
these exactly. Are sort of, you know, veterans.
Yeah, veterans. Kim, when are you due?
23rd of October.
Wow.
Good luck.
And what number away. Baby is this one?
Number 2. Yeah.
Righto. Good luck.
Thank you.
Now, Rue.
These
aren't my
Angels.
Topics. I ran into a lady yesterday. I was out at a meeting at Southern Cross Care, and this lady pulled me aside. She said, I've got two topics for you tomorrow, and she was getting right into me about it.
Wow. And what, she aggressively?
Said, no, not aggressively, but things that she needed to get off her chest. And she said that the first one is, she said, all of you blokes in today's society have got to be so careful how you treat women, talk to women, and rightly so. We know the changing society we live in, but we're reminded of it all the time about the way we speak in the workplace and what you can and can't do. She said, I'm sick and tired, though, of the way women are speaking to each other. And she's saying things like The Bachelor, where women are so bitchy to each other and so negative and nasty to each other. Alice the Wag, is this true?
This is so true, and it's happened my whole life, but girls are just mean to each other. Like,
are you mean?
No.
mean
but this is why I actually, honestly, except for like my close friends, I prefer to would hang out with a boy and like a group of boys than girls. Because why? You hang out with girls, all they talk about is other people. Whereas boys talk about things and they don't talk about other boys.
Mm.
Like you guys would never sit around in a pub having a beer going, oh my God, did you see what James did the other day?
Mm.
Like, did you see what he was wearing?
Mm-hmm.
You'd never, ever do that. You wouldn't even know. Whereas girls were like, oh, my God, like Sandra, can't believe she did that.
Yeah, but is it? But not only that, talking about other people behind their back, but are women bitchy to each other? This is what this girl was
like
saying. The way they talk to each other on these TV shows, yeah.
I think when I was younger, like now, I just think my social circle, you know, it's a bit more maturity there. So we don't, just don't have the time, just can't be bothered. Although, you know. At netball sometimes, it's good to have a little gossip. Me and my girlfriend have our wine and twisties up the back.
Yes,
but that's a personal, like, yeah, maybe we do. I just think we're wired that way.
Mm.
I don't know. But I've noticed at school, like my daughter's 9, and just even last year and this year, even from a young age, little girls just become a bit bitchier, which is it's actually sad. Maybe it's just our makeup.
It needs to be stopped.
It absolutely does, because that's where, you know, even bullying and stuff from like 8 and 9, like it's actually pretty bad.
Yep. Kim?
Yeah. I think particularly with shows, The Bachelor and Bachelorette and all of that.
Those real life shows.
We've got to remember that is a bit manufactured as well. Like they're encouraged to be that little bit
bitchy. Do you think so?
For entertainment on the shows.
And they want to be famous. They've had about 4,000 wines.
Yeah. Mm. And they need a few extra likes on their profiles and, you know, followers and stuff. But. Mm. I'm with Ange, like, as I've grown older and a bit more mature and learnt a bit more, it's not something that I myself do.
Mm.
I'm not really into gossip, but I could see that it is a bit of a thing. I agree with Alice there. Busy talking about other people, and it's not really something the guys do. You're too busy talking about things.
No.
How is The Bachelor going, Dits?
Mate, I wouldn't have a clue.
Well, we actually have him coming in at 7:40 tomorrow, if you want to know. The Bachelor is coming into the studio. I'm so excited.
The Honey Badger
is coming
on. No way.
I didn't even ask you guys if you wanted to interview him. I just did it anyway.
Honey Badger is coming in here.
Yep.
Right.
7:40, don't miss it. Dits is going
to
grill him.
Well, I'm looking forward to meeting Honey Badger.
Now, the other topic. So this lady I was talking to yesterday is a single mum. And so she's on Tinder, right? And wants
doing,
to go date.
No, doing, she was meeting up with a single mum.
No, it was
Tinder.
A business meeting. I didn't meet her on Tinder, you idiot. She's on Tinder.
This meeting, right. This meeting is clearly. This meeting is going.
Clearly, she saw me and she swiped right, didn't she?
I don't know which way you swipe, but be careful.
No, but her point was, I found it quite funny. She said, "What is it about blokes?"
How do you know that?
I don't know, I've just heard it. But she said, "What is it about blokes?" When she says, "I'm looking at their photos on Tinder, they think it's really sexy or really cool to." Oh, I'll stand there next to my motorbike, or I'll take a photo of me with the fish that I caught, or I'll take a photo of me.
How do you want them to stand?
Well, wouldn't you just put a photo of you online? Like, surely blokes out there with your motorbike or with your shirt off or holding the fish you've caught. I mean,
well,
seriously.
What would your photo be?
What you just are your photos? You obviously have it.
Wouldn't you just have a head and shoulders shot or something? Oh, no, she made me laugh when she was describing. I mean, Wag, surely that's a turn-off, isn't it? Why would a bloke think that me standing with my hotter-up motorbike is...
Yeah. Oh, the fish is all right. The fish is all right. Because that's a hobby. Like, that could just be a hobby, enjoy fishing. I mean, the motorbike and the shirt off, I think, come on.
Yeah, you don't need your shirt
We don't
off.
Need to see your pecs or your rib, you know.
So standing there with a salmon trout, that's all right.
The fish is okay, because it's kind of...
It would be a good fish.
That just means he enjoys the outdoors and fishing. That's what I'd think that was like.
And it means he smells of fish.
No, he doesn't.
Something's a bit fishy about him.
Yeah. Alice the Wag.
Okay, Wag. What sort of bloke do you want? What sort of photo?
You'd want like totally normal photos. I'd say no more than 3 photos because no bloke out there is like loving taking selfies all the time. You don't want that. So you'd have to have shirt on, normal photo, not too posy. And I've seen some, not like when I've been looking, but on my friend's Tinder before you get stuck in. And they're like with babies and stuff. And I don't care if you're an uncle, just don't put the baby on because it's like you never know.
Yeah. It could be yours.
Like friends with friends as well. You don't know who
you don't know which one
the
it
guy is.
Yeah. If you have other friends, it's clearly you're the ugly one in the group. So don't even put a group shot up.
Righto. But surely that reeks of wanker, doesn't it? If you're standing with something, a motorbike or I don't know, my hotted up car or something.
Yeah, I'd that's putting out a bit of wanker vibe.
I can picture you with your Jag just like lying. I'm just on radio. My name's Chris Dittmer.
My solitaire Jag.
What's wrong with that? Come on, you're getting paid. Hey, all right. You'd just be sitting there with a glass of red.
Yeah.
Just mind your
debonair
business.
That's right. All right. Thanks, Angels. Hey, Kim, very good debut,
Thank
Kim.
Thank you. And if anyone out there wants to send us topics, we're happy to talk about anything.
Well, how do they do it?
So just email Roo and Dits. All one word, at triplem.com.au.
Righto.
Interesting story broke the other day, Dits, about a man who's married, been married for a long time, has got 3 kids and also adopted a child, then decided to be a sperm donor.
Yep.
And did that over a couple of month period and then thought to try and help out people who weren't lucky enough to have their own kids after they got, you know, 3 or 4 of their own beautiful kids. And he's ended up finding out that the sperm he donated has created 11 kids.
11?
11. 2 girls and 9 boys, and he's actually met 4 of them now. And what a shock that would be, getting a phone call to realise you've just got an extra 11 kids.
Well, 11 phone calls,
yeah.
Gee, all right, let's get him on. Ken Allen, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. How are you going?
How did you feel when you got a phone call saying, hey, Ken, by the way, we've just found you've got 11 extra kids.
Well, it was a real shock. What happened was that a couple of years after I donated, I did call them and say, look, any success? And they said to me, well, no, you haven't had any successful pregnancies as a result. So it was a real shock. I was pretty dazed for a couple of days, yeah.
Ken, what obligation is there from you once this all happens? Is there any obligation at all?
No, there's not. It's, in fact, it was at that stage, it was totally anonymous, and it was, you know, they were telling us that there was never going to be any contact. But of course, times change, and yeah, now we can actually make application to get in contact with our, you know, donor kids, or the donor kids can get in contact with their donors. So,
right. So you can initiate contact, not just the kids. Okay.
Yes.
So do you feel, I guess at the time, you said you made the decision to help other people.
Yeah.
Do you now feel an emotional or a physical connection with these 11
kids? Good question.
Well, they're all, you know, genetically linked as my sons and daughters.
Yep.
And certainly, I mean, I was a teacher for many years, and you know, all the kids in my class, I always sort of looked at, upon as my kids as well. But this is a different matter altogether. This is, you know, real flesh and blood.
Yep.
And so, yeah, there's definitely a link, and it's something that you can't deny, and you know, it's a real tug on your heart. So yeah.
So you're a retired school principal, but your kids that you've had with your wife, how old are they? Yes.
Oh, golly, I'll get in trouble here. 33.
So they're 30, adults?
Yeah, they are, yeah.
The question I was going to ask them, do they get jealous, or are they funny in any way to know that you have fathered these other kids?
They're absolutely hysterically excited.
Really?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, they love it. They love having extra brothers and sisters, and they have really embraced them. They're in contact with them on a regular basis, and you know, we tend to try and meet up at least once, or if not twice, a year. So,
is there any negatives to doing what you've done at all?
Look, I think you know, it brings challenges, makes you a little bit weary, trying to get your head around it a bit. But no, I look, it's certainly all really positive from our perspective, and you love to just see the similarities between your kids and you know, natural kids and the donor kids as well. So a lot of them look like me. So poor things.
Now the kids that you've caught up with, and I think you've caught up with 4 of the 11.
Yes.
How was that? You know, from your perspective, from the kids' perspective, what was it like?
Yeah, look, totally mind-blowing, really. It was really exciting. It's a bit like sort of finding something that's you know, really precious and that's been lost, and you know, you've really rediscovered it or found this gem that you didn't know was there, and you know, it's a really special thing for sure.
Ken, well done. It sounds like a very positive, nice story in every way. So thanks for sharing it with us.
No worries, guys. You have a good one.
Well done.
Good on you, Ken.
Ken Allen. Yeah, it's going to be quite interesting.
I've said to you before about this, and be serious. I think it's a bit amazing to you must. I mean, you'd love your kids.
Yeah.
And you just love, and you'd love to have more kids, but you just don't want to have to look after them. It's an amazing thing for that, isn't it? Don't you reckon?
Well, going on with Ken's story, see, I really, really feel for people that can't have children.
Yeah.
And the fact that we can do IVF or other things in this world to help them, for people that are against it, I just don't understand. The upside is that you've created a child, a beautiful little human being. I don't know what the negativity would ever be.
Well, he said he hasn't got one negative, has he?
No.
Amazing.
So if you can help people out like that, good on him. Well done.
Triple M and Channel 7's One Night in September, presented by Bob Jane T-Marts, gets you to the one place you're never allowed to go, place where legends and history are made.
Correct, Roo. There were some people that were just made for September, and this man's one of them.
Absolutely. We saw it on the weekend, the 98 grand final
one
replay.
Goal five.
Wayne Carey joins us. The Duck. G'day, Duck.
Yeah, g'day, gentlemen. Yeah, made for September, except for 98, but I just won 5. Thanks for that.
That's all right, Duck. You won it the next year. And, looking forward to tonight. We've got 1,000 people at Adelaide Oval. When are you coming over with Big Brian Taylor?
Yeah, flying over today at lunchtime. Just tuning up for it, Roo. Just going to get a bit of a haircut. I'm just going to tell him to stop cutting the hole in the top.
Well, I've got a hairdresser that does that over here, so probably go to that one.
It'd be cheaper, wouldn't it, surely?
Yeah. Ditch reckons I get ripped off when I go to the hairdresser because it cost me $22.
Seriously? No, it should be a lot of fun. And I'll tell you what, you put a good grip together, boys. It looks really, really good.
Yeah. Have you got any good footy gossip for our people that are coming along tonight? There's enough mail around about the Crows at the moment, and some Port Adelaide mail, and players are moving, coaches are moving. Have you got any gold for us tonight?
There's a lot of mail in regards to what's going on with the finals coming up, but I'm just going to give people a little bit of an insight into why I call South Australia my second home. How I got there, where it all started.
Right.
Okay.
I don't think you even know this. And then obviously in the end, the full circle, I came back there and won you a Brownlow. So it's sort of...
Exactly. Never drank so much booze in my life. But anyway, don't. As long as they're good stories, Duck, about me, that's all right. We can...
very good stories about you. No, you, it ends with winning you the Brownlow.
Right.
So,
happy ending.
Yeah, happy ending.
Yeah, Brian Taylor, though, he usually comes and pots everyone. I've seen him at business lunches. He just goes everyone, doesn't he? He gets very angry, Brian Taylor, doesn't he?
You should try doing radio with him every Saturday and live TV with him on Friday night and also, obviously, Monday night talking footy. He's one of the great counterpunchers of all time. He can actually sit there, and if it's you and I, Roo, or Did, we're sitting there, and he'll sit there and wait for everyone to have an opinion.
Yeah.
And he'll pick which one he doesn't like, and he'll just smack you. So he doesn't have an opinion himself, but he'll smack someone else's opinion. So just watch for the great...
Wow, well, bloody take the batteries out of his microphone tonight. We'll fix that, don't worry. We look forward to it tonight, Duck. We'll see you there. It's going to be a massive night. The one and only Wayne Carey joining us on stage, Roo, for One Night in September.
Fit more of what you love in the new Tiguan All-Space 7-seat SUV at Southern Volkswagen. Main South Road, Ranelagh.